Matthew chapter 28 this morning. Matthew chapter 28. In this portion of Scripture in which we find the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's one word that really sticks out in my mind and really jumped out of the pages at me. For this message and also for this thought, for this message, as we'll look at this and you'll see it in just a moment. Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn quickly, or dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word the very second that Jesus arose. That very second. Father, we thank you, Lord, that death could not hold the Lord Jesus Christ within the grave. Once again, I am reminded of that wonderful scripture that the Apostle Paul penned by the moving and the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. That had Satan known the outcome of the cross, he would have never crucified our Lord. He did his best to keep him in the grave. He created fear within the hearts of those who Jesus had loved and ministered to for over 3 years. And he used his greatest weapon, again, fear, to hold those folks down. But when the angel spoke that morning and told them to quickly go and tell the disciples what had happened, and those ladies that morning quickly left, and your word tells us that they ran to give the message to the disciples that they had been instructed to deliver. That, dear Father, that very moment, that very second, those ladies, the lives of those ladies were never the same again, and neither were the lives of the disciples who heard the message from the mouths of those ladies. God, those of us who are here this morning, who were saved, Father, we were not saved over a process of time of hours or days or weeks or months or years. But instead, dear Father, that moment that we placed our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our salvation became instantaneous. It was immediately, quickly. Our names were written the same way in the Lamb's Book of Life, and your word tells us that one day Jesus will come in that same manner, quickly. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, one of these days we're going to be changed. And we too, dear Father, your word tells us, will not prevent those who were asleep, but instead they will precede us into the air. And then those of us who are alive and remain will be called up together with them in the clouds to meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of this will be done quickly in just a moment. And now, Father, I pray, Lord, I know I don't have a whole lot of time this morning. We never have enough time to say everything we'd like to say. And so, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit again might move quickly amongst the pews of these folks that are here and speak to their hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Technology today doubles itself at a rapid pace. I know that there was a time in the history of our nation that technology would double itself once every 100 years. once every 100 years. And to put that sort of in layman's terms, that means that you could have been born in years previously and lived your entire life, and you would have never saw modes of transportation change, nor modes of communication change, nor anything else that would have been considered technological in those days. It would have been the day that you died as it was the day that you were born. There were many of those who lived in the early days of our nation who, when they were born and they began to travel from place to place, either did so by horseback or by horse and buggy. I know that when I was at Antioch Baptist Church, we had a couple that were there, and their names were Blaine and Ella Mae Sigmund. And whenever you went to visit Brother Blaine and Miss Ella Mae, and you went over to the Iron Station area of Lincoln County to visit with them, Brother Blaine would always tell me about how that he first began to date his wife. And he said, you know, those were horse and buggy days. And he said, and that day, he said, you know, I wrote her a letter and asked her if I could come and call on her. Now, I could only imagine now, the Postal Service now is in 3 days. I don't know how long it took for him to get a letter in those days to her, or how long it got for her to get the reply back. But he said as he was traveling to her house with a horse and buggy, that the other fellow that she used to date was leaving her house on horseback. But you look at how we travel today. I mean, we have automobiles. Now, I know when we were learning how to drive and I took driver's ed, one of the things you were going to learn how to do was parallel park. Now, if you've got the money, you can buy a car that'll parallel park that rascal for you. All you got to do is push a button and she'll pull in if you've got enough money. I mean, when I was a young person, when I was a teenager, but if you had AM, FM radio in your car, you was doing good. Now, you look at all this stuff now, you can push a button and faces come up on the screens and all this other stuff. I can see me riding down the road trying to watch TV and drive. Now, if I was to do that, you folks would be in danger the whole time that we would be driving down the road. And technology, it doubles so fast that now today, technology doubles every 4 months. Every 4 months. The cell phone you buy in January of 2010, by June 2010, will already be outdated. And they're predicting by 2015 that technology will double itself every 4 weeks. Every 4 weeks. If you buy a phone on January the 1st, by February the 1st, it's already outdated. We live in a very quick world, a fast world. These ladies that came to the tomb that morning had no idea how quickly their lives were going to change. They had no idea. As far as they were concerned, that once they came to the grave to finish the preparation of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would leave that grave the same way that they came to that grave. And that was with great sadness and mourning. Little did they know how quickly their outlook was going to change. How quickly their attitude was going to change. Because the Bible says right there in verse 8 that they did leave the sepulcher with fear and great joy. See, they came to the tomb that day sad beyond sadness. And when they left that day, just like turning on a switch, like flipping a switch and going from darkness into light, it moved that quickly on their lives, that very second. That very second that Jesus arose and they received that message, their lives were never the same. And let me say this morning, if you're here this morning and you came to Park Place just for the fact that it's Easter, mom and dad may have invited you, somebody important in your life may have invited you, and you felt like, well, it'd be just like any other Easter service that I've come to. They'll sing a few songs, we'll hear a message, we'll get out early, we'll go home, we'll change clothes, we'll go out, we'll grab a bite to eat, and we'll come home and just spend a lazy Sunday either around the house or going to visit some relatives. If you're here this morning with that expectation, just as quickly Jesus can change that expectation and turn your life from being one of, even on Easter Sunday, of mundane repetition to being a life filled with great joy in just a second. In just a second. Just a few things this morning. That very second. In just a second. When Jesus rose from the grave, He became the promise of a second life. He became the promise of a second life. Now, Jesus had told His disciples before. They missed it. They didn't catch it. It kind of slid over their heads, or it went under the radar. Whatever it may be, how you described as far as the message when Jesus, and it's like I mentioned this morning in the sunrise service, how that on His way from the time that He instituted the Lord's Supper to Gethsemane, where He went to pray and there would be crucified, that He told His disciples on the way, He said, "When I be raised." Now, they didn't catch it. Now, why they didn't catch it, don't know. Whether their minds weren't prepared to pay attention to it, don't know. Whether their ears were stopped, whether they were thinking about what had just taken place, we do not know those things. But we do know this, they missed it. They missed it. They missed the fact that Jesus told them that He would be raised again. So He told them before that their lives would never be the same. Even though that He was about to lose His own life, that He would in turn give His life so that they and others could be saved for eternity and be gathered in like much fruit. The Bible tells us in John chapter 12 and verses 23 and 24, "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Jesus became the promise of the second life so that you could be, first of all, fruit yourself. See, Jesus wants to gather you in. He wants you to be a part of His family. He wants you to be born again. Just like that farmer goes out and gathers in the fruit and brings into the barn. He wants you to be a part of that fruit that He, as Savior and Redeemer, gathers in. But He also wants you to go out, just like I said this morning, and take that message and be those messengers and go out and tell the world that they too can have their lives changed in just a moment, in just a second, just that quickly. Just like the lives of these ladies were changed. See, the prophets of old had even prophesied of this day that was coming. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 10, 11, and 12, the Bible says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for those transgressors." Jesus this morning sits at the right hand of the Father, waiting on you at a moment's notice to call on His name so that He might make intercession for you to His Father. That's His job. That's why He's there. See, we wonder, say, well, who is it that's praying for me? Who is it that's thinking about me? Who is it that I may be important to this morning? You're important enough to the Creator of this universe that at this very moment, He is seated at the right hand of His Father, ready to pray for you. All you got to do is ask. All you have to do is ask. And in just a moment, at that very second, He'll become the promise of the second life to you in just a moment. John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. "Therefore doth my Father love me." See, we sing that little song, "Jesus loves me." Well, guess what? God loves Jesus. The Father loves Jesus. And Jesus here says, my Father loves me. Why? Because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. See, Jesus is in control this morning, just like He was in control that morning. These ladies didn't come and find a tomb where the stone had been rolled away with an angel sitting on it, because something was out of control. Jesus controlled this whole scene on this day, just like He controls this scene on this day, April the 4th of 2010. And in just a moment, in just a second, He can give you new life. Second thing this morning, that very moment, that very second, Jesus became the provider, now listen, of a second chance. Of a second chance. Now I want you to look at verse 7. And go quickly and tell His disciples that He has risen from the dead. Tell His disciples that He has risen from the dead. The same disciples that less than 72 hours before had forsook Him and fled. The same disciples who 72 hours before had told Jesus, it doesn't matter what anybody else does, we'll not forsake you. And Peter said, even if it costs me my life, I won't forsake you. I won't deny you. I won't forget about you. I will claim you to my dying breath. These same disciples that uttered those words, but as soon as the soldiers showed up in the garden, they ran like a bunch of chickens. Those same disciples. Jesus didn't say this, well, because y'all took off and ran and left me, then I'll forget about you. That's not what Jesus said. Hey, listen, you may be here this morning, you're thinking, man, you know, yesterday, I got out and now yesterday some of you may have mowed that yard for the first time this year. Now let me tell you what happens to me the first time I mow the yard in a year. I pray over the lawnmower. And I'm going to tell you why, because it hadn't been cranked in several months. We don't know what's going to happen when we get on that lawnmower and put that key in the ignition and turn that switch. It may fire right up. It may groan just a little bit and then fire up. It may groan and die very loudly, or it may just not make any sound at all. Yesterday, I got on that lawnmower and started cranking up, and it did this right here. It went, wong, 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 wong. And then all of a sudden, it went, wong, 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 wong. And it fired right up, and something came flying out of the carburetor. Don't know what it was. Don't know what it was. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't care. It didn't catch fire. It didn't blow up. The yard's mowed. That's all I'm worried about. The yard was mowed. That's all I care about. Some of you may have got out there yesterday and you were not as fortunate as I. And you had to climb off of that lawnmower. And you may have lost your religion. You may have hit that weed eater on the ground and bumped it, because they tell you with that weed eater, if you'll bump that rascal on the ground, that more line will feed out. And yours didn't feed out. And instead the line broke off on the inside. And you had to take that screwdriver and pry that little top off of it. And when you pulled that spring-loaded head off of you, that line flew out at your face just like a snake out of a jack-in-the-box. And you lost your religion. Guess what? Jesus will give you a second chance. Just like He did those disciples. He is the giver, the provider of the second chance. He gave the disciples a second chance. Jesus didn't forget about them. He told that angel, I had somebody ask me one time, said, why did the angel come and roll the stone away? Because Jesus told him to. Because Jesus told him to. Well, why did he sit on it? Because Jesus told him to. Well, why did he give that message that he gave to the disciples? Because Jesus told him to give that message. You go tell those disciples that I'm going to Galilee. I'm going to see them again. Hey, listen here. Mark chapter 16, verse 7. Now, you're not looking at it this morning. Mark chapter 16, verse 7. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. And Peter. That he goes before you into Galilee, and there you'll see him as he said unto you. And Peter. That same one who stood by the fire and warmed himself up. Weren't you with him? I don't know the man. I don't know the man. Oh, no, I remember seeing you. I saw you in the garden with him. No, I don't know the man. Oh, no, you're a Galilean. Your speech betrays you. Your accent. You have a Galilean accent. Oh, yeah. You were with him. And the Bible says that he began to curse and swear as he denied the Lord Jesus. And immediately the cock crew. And the Bible says that Jesus turned and looked on him. And Peter ran from that courtyard and went out and wept bitterly. Peter, I'm going to give you a second chance. Preacher, I've done some bad things since I've been saved. So did Peter. Preacher, I've said some things I ought not have said. I've been some places I ought not have been. I've acted in ways that was anything Christ-like. So did Peter. So did Peter. He's ready to give you a second chance. Or a third chance. Or a fourth chance. Peter asked this question. He said, if my brother offends me, how many times should I forgive him? 7 times 7, that's 49. To Peter, that was a bunch of times. 49 times, Jesus said, no. 70 times 7. Which means an infinite number, a continual number. That you're supposed to have a forgiving heart. And Jesus told Peter, he says, listen, Peter, you've got to forgive. And so Peter, because I've asked you to forgive, then I'm willing to forgive. That's why he came to this earth. So in that moment, in that second, he could forgive you no matter how bad it's been, no matter how awful it may be, no matter how personal it may be. Jesus said, I'm ready to forgive you right now, even if you've played the part of Peter. And he gave mankind a second chance too. Jew and Gentile alike put Christ on the cross. The Jews tried him. The Gentiles nailed him. And so no matter who you are here this morning, you fit within that description. So he gave all of mankind a second chance too. As Christ was about to ascend back into the heavens, he told his disciples there on the top of the Mount of Olives, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. It doesn't matter if you're Jew. It doesn't matter if you're Gentile. It doesn't matter what nation you live in. Jesus said, I want you to go to all of them. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter if you're black. It doesn't matter if you're white. It doesn't matter if you're brown. It doesn't matter if you're red. It doesn't matter if you're sunburnt. It doesn't matter if you got fair skin. It doesn't matter if you got dark skin. It doesn't matter if you're blue-eyed, brown-eyed. It doesn't matter if you've got one eye that's green and one eye that's blue. God don't care. He don't care. All he knows is this. Is his son shed his red blood for you so that didn't matter what color you are, what language you speak, that through Christ you can be as one in him. And he offers you this morning a second chance. That very moment, that second, you'll just ask. Last thing this morning, I'm done. He pardons from the second death. That very second you ask him. Just like the tomb was not Jesus' final resting place, he offers you rest in a true faith and a hope and a belief in the resurrected Christ. He Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 and also verse 11 says, therefore, there remains a rest to the people of God. So let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Because if you were to go just a few verses down there in chapter 28, start looking there in verse 11. Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch, some of those soldiers came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. In the face of a miracle. In the reality of a miracle. There were those who still would not believe. They chose to say no to that rest. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You take my yoke upon you. You learn of me. I'm meek and I'm humble and I'm mild. See, the second death doesn't have to have power over you. See, here's a good thing about being saved. I heard a fellow describe it like this one time, and it's a good description. I'm born again. And because I am, I have two birthdays. I was born into this world by my mother and father on January the 23rd of 1961. I was born into the family of the Lord Jesus Christ on March the 3rd of 1983. And the date of my death is still yet undetermined in my mind. I don't know when it's going to happen. Or if it'll happen. I believe I'm going to get raptured out of here. See, when you get saved, you're born twice. But you only got to go to sleep. You got to die just that one time. But if you're here this morning and you say no to Jesus, you're born once. But you're going to die twice. You're going to die a physical death, and you're going to die a spiritual death. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6 says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ. Easy day to remember if you get saved today. Fourth month. Fourth day, 2010. That's why it's easy for me to remember my birthday. Third month, third day, 1983. It's easy to remember. He wants you to have a second chance this morning. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved. He offers you a second chance that's going to give you everlasting life. If you're here this morning and you know you're saved, you know without a shadow of a doubt that if you just die, you just go to heaven. But still yet. You could imagine if your friends were the ones who showed up at the tomb that day that Jesus may have had to say your name. Go and tell those disciples and also fill in the blank that I go before them. Because you just not quite did like you knew you were supposed to. He offers you a second chance too. And I promise you this. The moment that you pray, that second, that very second, quickly, he'll do what he's promised to do.